Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Any business owner wants to achieve fast business growth because by growing, you're able to spread your message, generate more revenue, and help more people with the product or service that you're offering. So when a book is coming out, which focuses on a tale of fast business growth, which is based on a very realistic story that a lot of people can relate to, I know that we have to include that on Breakthrough Success. So today's guest is an entrepreneur, advisor, and marketer who Forbes recently called, quote, one entrepreneur today that every marketer should be modeling, while Inc. magazine describes him as a savvy marketing strategist. The highly awarded entrepreneur is the author of Cadence, a tale of fast business growth, which depicts the story of a business owner and triathlon coach named JJ, who left his stable job as a teacher to fulfill his dream of becoming an entrepreneur. And that's a relatable story for a lot of people who they may be in that 9-to-5 now wondering how to become an entrepreneur. So I am really looking forward to this episode. And today's guest who will be in this episode, episode 156 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, is none other than Pete Williams. Pete, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mate, thank you, champion. It's fun to be here. Looking forward to a fun conversation.
Pete, I'm really looking forward to it as well. And one of the questions I always like asking is something that kind of gives a backstory. So why did you write the book Cadence?
Yeah, good question. So basically, as you mentioned earlier, it is based on a true story. So I have a couple of companies here in Australia in the telco space, e-commerce space, but also sort of organically growing a bit of an advisory kind of arm to what I do, and a triathlon coach and retail cycling store owner was literally across the road from our office in Melbourne, Australia, and I'd known this guy for quite a while, and my plan was always to, before I turned 30, I wanted to do an Ironman triathlon. I'd raced triathlons quite a lot at university in my early 20s in sort of the sprint distance, shorter sort of stuff, and had this goal to do an Ironman before I was 30. So I got to sort of 29 and went, all right, I better keep this promise to myself. And went across the road to the bike store, and the guy I knew was actually my high school PE teacher. So it was a very kind of weird dynamic that actually my high school PE teacher opened a store across the road from me. So got him to start helping me get ready and prepared to be able to do this Ironman triathlon. You know, it's a multiple mile swim, 180 kilometer bike ride, and then a marathon at the end. So it's a big, 8, 12, 13 hour effort to do these things. It's pretty intense. I had to do a lot of training. And during the 20 weeks of me getting prepared to do my Ironman, I was actually helping him improve his bike store and his business with some of the lessons and the blueprints and frameworks that we use in our companies. So it was a good little adventure, a good little story. And then obviously that was 6 years ago or so. And since then, I've kind of done some more advising, got some referrals here and there, and just sort of started to share what we've done in our businesses with other people. And they've had success implementing this framework and this process. So then sort of stumbled into the idea of telling that in a story to get it out to more people and help more business owners. Because as you said, it's scary. There's so many business owners around the world who wake up every morning, walk to their business, open the front door, and kind of get hit with overwhelm and worry of like, okay, I know I've got a lot of stuff on my to-do list, but none of that seems to actually be getting me closer to my actual goals. So when I started on the book, we working through it and trying to figure out how to sort of talk about this framework and this business process, and went, oh, let's use the story of the bike store and my experience as sort of that underlying tone for the book. So that's sort of how it came about, and people are really digging it, which is really cool.
And the book Cadence obviously goes into detail about how exactly this fast business growth was achieved. And some people are at that stage where, like, I feel like everyone wants fast business growth, but some people need it more than others. Some people, they're trying to they may not be making enough money with it to keep it going, or they just may not feel like, they may feel like they're just trying to survive instead of growing and thriving. So how do you recommend we achieve fast business growth for our businesses?
Yeah, sure. So basically the book tells this story that I just mentioned, but in it, it teaches this framework that we've sort of stumbled upon and across in our business over the years, that kind of is now the foundation of everything we do. And when we invest in other companies, when we buy other businesses, when we start our own other businesses within the group, we make sure this is the foundation of how the business operates. You know, when we started our telco group, you know, 10, 12 years ago, we were very much like everybody else. It was all about traffic and conversion. It was like, how do we get, you know, as many leads as possible? How do we make as many sales as possible? And that was great, and it gave us a lot of growth. But it also cost us a lot too, because we weren't really focusing on a holistic approach of like everything that drives profit. And at one point we sat down and went, okay, what is really the purpose of this business? And, you know, it is about helping people, providing a product and service, but a business in its true essence, at the end of the day, is about creating profit. So we sat down and went, okay, well, what are the drivers of profit? What actually creates profit in any business, whether you're a retail store, you're an e-commerce business, you're a SaaS provider, you're an information marketer, every business, the model's effectively the same when it comes to what drives profit. And there are seven things. You know, you've got your suspects, you've got your prospects, you've got your conversion rate, how many people actually purchase from you. So your suspects are the people who might walk into your retail store or visit your website. You know, it's traffic in its greater definition. Then you've got prospects. They're the people who kind of put up their hand and say, yes, I want to get sold to. They may have opted into your free report. They may be trying on a pair of shoes in your retail shoe store. They might be sitting down with you and getting a free quote for the garden landscaping that you're getting done, whatever it might be. Conversions, obviously, how many people actually purchase from you. And that's sort of where a lot of people leave it. They kind of focus on those two or three things and then kind of leave it there. But you've actually also got your average item price. Now, what is the average price of the items that you're actually selling to people in your business? How many items are they buying per sale? Are they buying a pair of shoes plus a pair of socks? Are they getting their garden mowed plus the leaves taken out of the roof? Are they, you know, buying your, you know, core SaaS product, but also getting the onboarding upsell, whatever it might be? You've got your transactions per customer. How often are these people coming back to you and buying from you again? And then you've got your margins, which is obviously the overall net profit you actually make. And one thing we realized, we sat back and went, okay, there's these seven elements, no matter what business you're in, that drives the profit. So we sort of started saying, okay, well, we better start working on each of these things in isolation. Rather than looking at, you know, business and marketing as this one big thing, it's like, okay, there's these seven things. Let's focus on each of these seven areas in isolation and try and improve each of them separately. And we can maybe run through some examples, which should be kind of cool for the, you might sort of know some of the audiences, businesses listen to the show, and we can kind of, you know, apply this to their businesses. And what we found though, is that we sat down and went, okay, well, if we improve each of these seven areas by just 10%, the cumulative effect of these seven 10% wins was doubling the profit of our business. And most people, what we found, and we were definitely guilty of this, is when we tried to, you know, double or grow our business, we need more leads, we need more suspects. And it was all about trying to get this one thing doubled, tripled, quadrupled. But if we actually just took our time and went, okay, this week we're going to try and increase our suspects. We're going to spend a day trying to improve our AdWords campaign to get 10% more traffic, as an example. You know, the next week we went, okay, how can we improve our conversion rate? You know, on our proposals, we went and put some testimonials and some social proof in our proposals, and that got us a slight 10% increase. You know, we went from a conversion rate of like, you know, 22% to 24.2%, just a 10% increase on what we were at. Very small win, realistically, when you think about it. But as we walk through this process, you know, in 7 weeks, we had seven 10% wins, which effectively gave us a doubling of our bottom line. And then it's just about continually cycling through that over and over again and making that the framework for how we continually work on our business. And that just continues to give us that growth, which is very much structured and not ad hoc and running around kind of getting distracted. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes. And it does make a lot of sense in the fact that you're getting a little better at a bunch of different areas to achieve the end goal, whether that be revenue, basically revenue in this case. And you're just getting better at a few other areas instead of having this pressure of having to double in one area in order to double your income, which is not, it's much harder to double in one thing, like go from a 4% conversion rate to an 8% conversion rate than it is to just get 10% wins spread across the map to double your revenue that way. And one of the things that I'm wondering is that some businesses, they make a lot of revenue, others don't seem to make as much revenue. And I'm wondering, what do you believe holds back the businesses not making as much revenue from unlocking the full potential?
Yeah, sure. I think I'll define something first, is that revenue and profit are two very, very different things. The first six levers really are your revenue. And then obviously your last one is your margins. So your margins then dictate your net profit. And the whole idea is at the end of the day, it's about profit. It's what you keep in your back pocket. There's plenty of businesses that make a lot of revenue that basically keep none of it. So I think that's a false metric as well that a lot of entrepreneurs do focus on. It's all about revenue. It's all about how much revenue I'm getting in. And, you know, I've been involved, seen, spoken with businesses that were more profitable when they had less revenue. I've seen many companies that what they've done is they've grown and they've focused on the top line, on the revenue figure, and they've gone from a $2 million business to a $20 million business, but their actual net profit is actually less, because for them to deliver on that $20 million revenue, their expenses explode and they stop focusing on those expenses. And the actual entrepreneurs have said, and we've had conversations about this, saying, you would have been happier and better off sticking at $2 million revenue and netting 20% than being at $20 million revenue and netting, you know, 2%. Like, it's just the math. It's actually quite surprising how it actually works. So sometimes, you know, focusing on revenue is actually not a smart thing. It really has to be on profit. So kind of coming back to your question mark around what, you know, what is the problem that a lot of people have when they are trying to grow their profit, is I think it really comes down to not having a blueprint or a map to actually follow. In that, I think a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, they go, okay, my business is X. And they understand their business and their product and they understand their tools really, really well. But they don't understand what really drives the actual profit of their business. You know, they may have, you know, been really good on the tools with the spanner in their hand, doing whatever it is, being a great coder, being a great salesperson, being a really good accountant. And they go, okay, great, I'm now going to be a business owner. And the two skill sets are very, very different. And they get to the point where they walk into their door in the morning and they've got a big list of stuff to do, which is the actual tools, delivering the product, delivering the service, that sort of stuff. But they have no map to follow of, okay, how am I going to take time out of my business every week and focus on it in a structured way? And even those that do have that kind of calendar set mentality to go, okay, I've got, you know, Friday afternoon is my work on the business time. You know, I've read Gerber. I know that it's important to work on my business, not in it. But they still sit down at that time on a Friday afternoon when they're working on their business, not knowing what thing they should be working on. What is the thing they should be trying to tweak and improve in their business? They're just trying to improve the whole thing. And that, again, that overwhelm and confusion isn't actually helpful. And what we've found is that people who kind of have a framework to follow that, okay, you know, hypothetically, if it is the seven levers, there's plenty of frameworks out there that you can follow, but the seven levers seems to work for a lot of people, which is great, is, okay, this Friday, I know I am working on increasing my conversions. So I'm going to sit down here, I'm going to figure out what I can do in this 6-hour block, 4-hour block, whatever it might be, to try and get a 10% win of my conversions. Maybe it's an e-commerce store and you do some Googling and you find some case studies of people who have put trust seals or social proof on their checkout pages. And, you know, for example, there's plenty of case studies of e-commerce stores who have just literally put social proof, testimonial, secure checkout logos on their e-commerce store, and it's bumped their conversion rate by 10, 12, 13%. And that takes 2 or 3 hours to do, to implement that sort of social proof element on your checkout page, but there's your 10% win in conversions. The next Friday, they come back and go, okay, now I'm working on my items per sale. And you figure out, okay, what can I do to increase my items per sale? Maybe it's just training our sales staff on asking, would you like fries with that? Maybe it's working with your e-commerce checkout store platform and putting an upsell in the checkout process. Maybe it's you are a service provider and just creating a brochure that when you are talking to someone about the core service they want, for example, they're coming in to get their car engine oil changed and checked or whatever, getting a service on their vehicle. Maybe you have a checklist that you say to people, okay, here's a checklist we're going to go through. We're going to do your oil. We're going to do this. Well, actually, hang on. Let's rotate your tires. It looks like your tires haven't been rotated. Bang. Easy checklist, easy question to ask that gets you that, you know, additional item per sale of a wheel alignment or wheel rotation that you can get some revenue from. And putting in that checklist of all the things that you'd work through with your prospect or your customer when they're in your store, in your workshop, takes you 3 hours to do, and then you just implement it every single time. So having this sort of framework to go through is like every week I'm going to spend time working on my business and working on one of these 7 profit drivers gives you that framework to focus on and actually stick to and have that routine. And that's the biggest issue I think a lot of people don't have is that map or that blueprint of, okay, this is exactly the area of profit I'm going to work on this week. They take the step to work on their business, but then they sit there and kind of just get distracted between busy and productive.
Pete, thank you for sharing all those great insights on what holds a lot of businesses from that potential and being able to make that profit. It was great that you made that distinction. I do go by that distinction. I've read Mike Michalowicz's Profit First, but
yep.
I'm happy you brought up that point about the profit, because we can get stuck on the revenue and not think about how much we get to take home.
Yeah, Mike's brilliant. He actually wrote an advanced praise for this book, which is pretty nice of him too. So, superstar.
Yeah, he. I did see that. You got a few really good ones. You also got the Founder Magazine founder, so that's really impressive.
Yeah, Nath, he actually their office is not too far from ours, and he's a superstar. He's just hit 5 years with that business and done a massive success with that. You know, the business that's sort of, you know, it's a magazine which you wouldn't think would do too well. It's digital, but it's killing it in that sort of startup business space, with sort of, you know, stories and lessons and things like that for startup business owners, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely really amazing to see that Founder Magazine has gone so far. I don't want to like spend too much time talking on it, though. I'd like to transition into something that I know a lot of people have is, and that is challenges, especially when it comes to achieving that fast business growth. And you tell a story from the perspective of achieving this growth. But at some point, you are not achieving fast business growth, as can be said about anyone.
Absolutely.
So what was one big challenge you faced on your journey to achieving fast business growth? And what was a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
Yeah, good question. One of the things that, you know, when we started our business, we were very lucky in some ways that gave us a lot of growth, but really painted us into a corner. You know, 12 years ago when we started the actual telecommunications business, which is one of the core businesses in our group, we sell install phone systems up and down the east coast of Australia. So what we were doing is when we first started the business, myself and our business partners, we're not technicians. I still 12 years later have no idea how to install and program a phone system. So when we started that business, we realized initially that it was at that time when, you know, Google was taking over from Yellow Pages. So the average receptionist or office manager who was given the task to go and get some quotes for a phone system stopped looking at Yellow Pages and they were going to Google. And no one in Australia was kind of, you know, owning that space. So we kind of pivoted the business and went really hard after that kind of area of the market, particularly with phone system sales. So what we did is we were able to get a lot of leads in. We were able to get a lot of suspects, get a lot of people getting our quotes, which became prospects, and converting those people to buyers, which was really good. We were a sales and marketing company. But what we had to do to deliver on that service, we had to actually outsource the implementation. So we dealt with subcontractors all around the country who actually were going and installing the phone systems for us. And that was great. You know, we were generating some revenue and getting people through the door. But that gave us a bit of growth. But the problem with that is our retention was terrible. In that scenario, it was the local technician who was the one going and installing on the wall, building the rapport with the customer, giving them the service and support with the installation process. So when a customer had a problem or wanted to buy additional handsets and expand, who were they going to go back to? The company who effectively just, you know, sold them the solution, or the actual person who was there in front of them holding their hand, showing them how to use the system? So it was a mixture of that. A lot of these subcontractors had their own agenda and were not actually giving great customer service and burnt our brand. So that was because we just weren't even focusing on the holistic approach of what actually, you know, is customer experience and profit in the business. We were completely ignoring, you know, the lever that is transactions per customer. We just had our blinders on and was focused on traffic and conversion. That's all it was. And then we realized, well, hang on, you know, there are things other than traffic and conversion that drive profit. And when we sort of realized that and sat back and went, okay, how do we ensure we have and increase transactions per customer? How do we get them to come back and buy from us again? And that's when we kind of realized that, oh, hang on, we better shift our business model and expand it and really look at this holistically. So it was great to get us to start, but it cost us a lot of growth because we were continuing to fight for our next meal, our next prospect, our next suspect. We weren't actually having that database of clients to go back to and support and grow off. So that was a massive issue for us early on.
That's a very valuable lesson that I feel like it's becoming one of those more popular pieces of advice, more popular lessons where people are learning to acknowledge their customers, not just trying to get a new customer, but also acknowledging people who have already bought, giving them more offers, giving them more opportunity to get involved with your brand on a deeper level. And I do feel like a lot of people are forgetting about that. And that idea you mentioned already, like improving like 10% in those seven key areas, is something very valuable that is one of the many great takeaways from your book. And with books in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you can think of that will have a positive impact on us as we go on to grow our businesses.
Yeah, sure. Let me look at my bookshelf and give you some. I'll try and give you some stuff that probably people don't necessarily know. A book that I'm enjoying at the moment is a book called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. It's a whole bunch of, I guess, almost isolated essays around business, management, entrepreneurism, startup, that sort of stuff. Really, really interesting. I've been highlighting the absolute heck out of that book. So that's one book I would recommend. Yeah, The Road Less Stupid. He also has a book called Keys to the Vault, which is quite good. The book that I love and I give out and buy the most is a classic called, or it's two books in one. So it's Claude Hopkins is the author. It's My Life in Advertising and Scientific Advertising. It's now published as two books in one, which you can get on Amazon. It's a fantastic book. It's from the early 1920s, 1930s. And he was sort of almost one of the pioneers of direct response marketing. And it's lots of tales and stories of what he did as he went through his journey. So that's a really, really good book that I love. What's the third book? Look, the book that really changed my life, which is interesting in that it's not a classic, but literally one paragraph in that book changed my life. And it's the book called The 1 Minute Millionaire by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen. It's 15 or so years old as a book, but it really made a shift in my life. It had this one paragraph that was pretty impactful because I took that and took action on it. And that's the idea with books, I think. It's, you know, you don't need the whole book to be amazing. You just need to find that one chapter, that one paragraph that you kind of go, yeah, that makes sense to me, and actually act on it. That's the the key, I think, to a book is just trying to find the one nugget and not try and make the whole book be life-changing. It's just that one element that fits for you.
Pete, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations and that advice for when we are reading a book, just to have that one nugget instead of feeling like we have to do the whole book right away. And that does make the implementation harder. So for anyone who wants the links to those books, those are going to be in the show notes at markcabretti.com/E156. And if you guys want to dominate the content marketing landscape and grow a profitable content marketing brand, then you guys can also get a copy of my book, Content Marketing Secrets. That will be in the show notes also, but the link to that one is markcabretti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, I've asked you, Pete, several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Ooh, great question. The question that I always go to in conversations with anyone, and it's going to sound really weird, it's a question that I often ask, like literally probably two or three times a day, is what's the question that I haven't asked that I should have? So if I'm speaking to a prospective supplier in our business, or if I'm speaking to a prospective employee or customer, or you know, in any sort of conversation, I always try and leave one of my last questions to be, what's the question I haven't asked that I should have? And it's not really, it actually makes the other person think about, okay, what else is left on the table? And you often get some massively good nuggets and takeaways that you would have left if you walked away. It makes them sort of, it really shakes their dynamic, shakes them up, breaks their pattern, and they'll often sort of share stuff with you that they wouldn't have otherwise shared. It wasn't part of the real dialogue, but it helps get some little bit of extra out of the person. So if you are chatting to someone, and just try it out today, if you're speaking to someone today about something, at the end of the conversation, before you wrap it up, just ask them, what's the question that I haven't asked that I should have? And see what they actually let out of the bag.
Pete, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. And if you guys want to get Pete's book, Cadence, it is up on Amazon, but I recommend you actually get it through a custom link just for Breakthrough Success listeners. The link to that is cadencebook.com/breakthrough. You'll find a really nice surprise there, the audio version of the book. As long as you pre-order the paperback book. So the link again, cadencebook.com/breakthrough for anyone who is interested. Pete, I cannot thank you enough for being a great guest on the show. Thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
No, you're welcome. Appreciate it. And as you mentioned, look, we're trying to do this weird test with the publisher, and you know, we sort of, you know, one of the things I hate, and I'm sure you've experienced too, is when you hear people talk about a book that's not out for, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of months, it's really annoying to then go, oh, great, I've got to now go wait, you know, a couple of months for it to get delivered. And I hate that. So I kind of was negotiating with the publisher and going like, how can we add value early? How can we give people value beyond just some boring PDF bonuses? So yeah, we've got this offer where we're testing out, and love you guys to kind of check it out and test it with us, is that if you want to pre-order the book, we'll give you instant access to the audio version straight away. So no shenanigans, no waiting around, no forwarding off receipts or any of that sort of crap. Literally, you can pre-order a copy of the book and we'll give you instant access to the audio early, so you get the content. And I guess realistically, if you're a podcast listener, you're probably going to prefer to listen to a book than read it anyway. So so love people to check it out if they want to hear a bit more and help us with this test.
And that link will also be in the show notes of this episode as well. And again, Pete, thank you for sharing your great insights and also involving us in this experiment. I hope you guys, if you're interested in it, you do take action on it, because this is something that I've never really seen, where you offer the free audiobook before the release of the physical book. So I'm actually really excited for Pete to see how all of this goes.
Yeah, and we'll share the results. So, you know, if you happen to buy the book and get the audio, once the book's released, we'll share the stats. Like, it's a test bed. We're seeing how this works, and we'll let you know. So if you're an author yourself, grab a copy of the book, because just as an insight, you'll understand how this worked and how we did the whole thing. So it could help you sell some of your own copies later on. So, it's a cool test, and we'll see how it goes. I'm interested and I'm intrigued to see. I think, you know, particularly for podcasters, you know, it's an audio medium. It's what people like. And, you know, I'm an audio guy myself, and I've got plenty of books on my bookshelf and I read a bit, but I reckon I consume 2 to 3 times the amount of content in audio books than I do in physical books. So we thought we'd do the same with this little test and see how it goes.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweets.